Welcome to our program of the Archie Hardy Ministries as we come today reminding you that souls are crying and men are dying. We must win the lost at any cost. I'm Sharon Knotts, and today's message, The Faith Jesus Marveled, is from a Sunday night inspirational exhortation that I ministered at Faith Tabernacle. It was one of those exciting deliveries when only the Holy Spirit knows what the message will be. The faith Jesus marveled is so simple but so dynamic that your faith can increase by hearing this anointed word. I'll be back at the close of the broadcast to tell you how you can order a CD of The Faith Jesus Marveled.
The faith that God gives you is perfect. But you know you can use your faith against yourself. Amen. And cause your faith to become, I use the word paralyzed. Because I experienced that. I remember I thought to myself when I was going through my battles, I used to have so much faith. When I was a little girl, I was so bold. I just believed. I had so much faith. And now I don't have it anymore. I didn't lose my faith. I felt like I did, but I didn't. But it had become paralyzed with all the fear and the doubt and the unbelief that were overwhelming me like waves of a sea. And the thing that was causing them, that doubt and unbelief, to become magnified and greater was all the symptoms I was feeling all in my body. And those symptoms, every time I'd get that pain, it would just cause, I didn't know what was worse, the pain or the fear. What I mean is, you know, if I could survive one, the other was going to kill me. I know if pain could have killed you, I'd have definitely been dead by now. But you see, you have faith. Amen. There are only two times in the Word of God that it is recorded that Jesus Christ marveled. How many know what the word marvel means? It means to be amazed. It means to wonder. This thing is so phenomenal, I can't get over it. To marvel at something. We don't use it much anymore. We say something's marvelous, and unfortunately, we kind of watered it down. But we got to know the Bible understanding that when someone marveled, they were like, this is amazing. I can't process this. And you can with your mind, with your natural understanding, you can't. And only two times did Jesus marvel. And one of those times he marveled at someone who had such great faith. And the other time he marveled because the people had so much unbelief. Two times. You see, when the centurion came to Jesus, he marveled that he had so much faith. Especially, he didn't expect to find it amongst a Gentile. And then he marveled when he went to Nazareth, his hometown, and the people did not believe, and to the point that they were hostile against Jesus. And because of that, he could not have a great revival in that city like he did all the other towns he went to. They should have been on the edge of their seat. Jesus is coming home. He's coming back. Did you hear what he did over there in that city? Did you hear what he did in that town? My God, I heard about this person here. I heard about how he opened up the blind eyes and cleansed the leper. And Jesus is coming home. We're going to have a revival. But that's not what happened. When he got there, they said, who does he think he is? We've been knowing him since he was that high. We know his mother, his father, his brothers and sisters. We know him. They knew Jesus in the flesh, but they did not know Jesus, the miracle worker, the Holy Ghost anointed, God sent Messiah with the power of God to do the miraculous. And their unbelief was so great, it smacked Jesus right in the face. And the Bible said he could not do many miracles there. I want you to know he did some, because I believe there had to be some that were sitting there. Some that was bent over. Maybe some that, you know, that they had been with Jesus. They had been with God and they believed and they said, Jesus, we believe in you. Pray for us. Because the Bible says he laid hands on a few. And he wouldn't have laid hand on anybody sitting there glaring at him saying, who do you think you are? He would have saw, you can see faith in a person's face. Oh, yes, you can see. You can see fear on their face and you can see faith. And those are the ones that Jesus would have gravitated to. And they're the ones that he laid hands on. And I can tell you what, if Jesus lays hands on you, you're going to get saved, healed, set free. He marveled at their unbelief. And then we have this wonderful account where Jesus marveled at the faith of the centurion, a Roman soldier. The Bible says that he came to Jesus and he besought him. And that's a strong word. It means he begged Jesus. Because he knew he was coming already, really not worthy. He said he wasn't worthy. And based on the Jewish faith, he wasn't. Now, let's not get and fall into that snare of the devil that comes sitting on your shoulder telling you're not worthy. Because basically, none of us are worthy. But once we're in Jesus, you cannot get any more worthy than that. How many believe that Jesus is the Lamb of God who's worthy to receive glory, honor, and praise? Is he worthy that his name should be exalted above every name that's named? Is he worthy that he should be given all authority in heaven and earth? We all agree that Jesus is worthy. Well, I tell you what, we are accepted in the Beloved. We're one with him and sanctified by him, Hebrews 2:11, and we're accepted in the Beloved, Ephesians 1:6, so we're worthy in him. So let's just make that clear right now. Make sure you tell the devil those two scriptures next time he comes. But you see, when the centurion came, he said, Jesus, I would that you would heal my servant. He's grievously sick. Now, we know that this had to be a man of great compassion, that someone in his position would have so much concern for a servant that he would go out of his way and come and get a Jewish rabbi, when the Romans thought, oh, the Jews were, they thought they were religious nuts. That's exactly how they looked at them. They tried to appease them. They tried to keep them, as much as possible, to just go along with them, keep them, so they don't get all worked up and cause a lot of problems. But they thought that they were over the hill religious nuts. But this centurion came to Jesus and he besought him. He said, my servant is grievously vexed of the devil. I would that you would heal him. And Jesus said, I will come. I will come and heal him. And the centurion says, no, wait a minute. You don't have to come. I'm not even worthy that you should step in my house. He understood that if Jesus, the Jewish rabbi, went into a Gentile's home, he would be ceremonially unclean. Now, Jesus didn't worry about being unclean. I'm telling you, when you got the Holy Ghost, you don't have to worry about being, you can go and, amen. But what I'm trying, he was, for appearance's sake, this centurion understood that a Jewish rabbi would never go into the house of a Gentile. But he said, you don't have to come. He said, all you have to do is speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. I believe Jesus went and sat down and said, my God, I have never... And he said this. He marveled and said, I have never seen such great faith. No, not in all of Israel. Because this centurion understood something. He understood that Jesus had authority over sickness and disease. Where all he got his information, we don't know. But he had plenty of information. Whether he was peeking in the back door when Jesus was doing his miracles, or whether he just had people that was feeding him information, he had found out, he believed there were documented cases that miracles were being performed by this man. And he understood that somehow this man had authority over the authorities that made people sick. Because sickness is from the devil. Disease is from the devil. God only gives out good and perfect gifts. And this man understood, he had a revelation that there were authorities of evil that cause sickness and disease and suffering, but somehow that this Jesus Christ of Nazareth had authority greater than their authority. That when he commanded the sickness to leave, it left. When he commanded the devil to come out, it came out. Because this is what he said. He said, you know, I'm a man under authority. I am under the authority of Rome. If a messenger was to come ride in here right now on a horse and give me a piece of paper that came from Rome and said, you are to leave immediately and come back to Rome, that's exactly what I would do. Because I'm under authority. But not only am I under authority, I have authority over others. I've got men under me, probably 100, since the word century means 100. I've got men under me, and I say to this one, you go, and he goes. I say to this one, you come, and he comes. I say to this one, you do this, and he does it. He said, I understand authority. They obey my word because I have authority over them. And oh, I'm getting something going up and down my body right now. He said, I understand you have authority. And all you've got to do is speak the word. And the powers of darkness have got to obey and they will come out. Just speak the word and my servant will be healed. See, he understood the authority that Jesus had. And he believed that Jesus' word carried that authority. If you ever get the understanding that the word of God carries authority in it, if you understand that the word of God carries life in it, carries power in it, carries deliverance in it, you will start speaking the word of God all day, every day, more and more all the time. If you ever understand that, he understood it. I don't know how he got that revelation. Obviously he was analytical and he analyzed it, but he didn't have all the theology. He didn't have all the teaching. He just knew that this man has got authority. This man has got something I've never seen in anybody else. This man just tells devils to come out and they obey him. And if he don't have to be right there, he can be in the next town. He don't have to be in the same room. You don't have to be in the same room. I want you to know all you've got to do is speak the word of God.
Amen. What an inspired word of the Lord. We have faith, and our faith is good enough to receive everything we need from God. Friend, you don't have bad faith or weak faith. God only gives good and perfect gifts, and the measure of faith he gave to you was good enough to save you, and it's good enough for everything else he has for you. But there is a faith that calls Jesus to marvel. He only marveled 2 times in his ministry, once at the unbelief of Nazareth, his own hometown, and the other at the faith of a Roman centurion, someone you would not expect to exhibit such faith. How did a Gentile obtain this faith that caused Jesus to marvel and to say, I have never seen such faith in all of Israel? It had to do with his ability to recognize Jesus' authority, his authority over demons and sickness. In fact, he told Jesus, you don't have to come to where my sick servant lies. Just speak the word only, and he will be healed. If you felt the anointing on this word and it quickened your spirit, you need to get this message on CD and listen to it again. To order, send a love gift of $10 or more and request offer number SK152. That's S as in Sharon, K as in Knots, 152. Write to Brother Hardy, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland 21203. Or go online to rghardy.org, that's rghardy.org, where you can also find many other messages in our e-store. Once again, send your love gift to Brother Hardy, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland 21203. Even if you don't wish to order, please write or go online and let us know how the radio ministry is blessing you. Until next time, God bless you and Maranatha.